Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Hey, welcome back everyone to the channel. Tonight we have a horrifying park ranger story, where he is radioed in to meet with some other rangers on this particular trail for a missing child. When he arrives, and what he finds on this trail at this national park in the state of Alaska, is simply horrifying. Stay tuned. If you're new to the channel, subscribe, click on that bell, and smash that thumbs up and tell a friend. Hey, Campfire Tales. I have been a park ranger at Wrangell St. Elias National Park for 8 years. I quit my job on September 8th, 2015, due to an absolutely horrific encounter that I will never forget, and which leaves me with nightmares to this day. It all started on the morning of September 7th in 2015. I had just arrived at my office for my morning shift and sat down at my desk. I had had a weird gut feeling all morning. I could only describe it as my subconscious somehow being aware that something terrible was going to go down on this shift. I quickly became bored and began to scroll on my phone, looking through the repetitive news stories, and quickly becoming bored of those as well. I clicked off my cell phone, slumped down into my chair, and let out a big sigh. I couldn't seem to shake the uneasy feeling that had been present since I had woken up this morning, and the feeling only increased when I arrived at work. I half considered faking being sick and just leaving right then and there, but I knew I couldn't afford to lose my job at that moment. A newfound motivation washed over me, somewhat forced, but I sat up in my chair and decided that I would be focused and alert that day. James, 10:57. We have a family reporting a missing child, 4'10", 10 years old, male, wearing a blue shirt and jeans, last seen 30 minutes ago on the Eastern Trail. Please begin the search. Over. My coworker spoke from the radio. I was instantly hit with an intense, sickening feeling. At that point, it was all seeming a little too real to me. Waking up with the bad feeling that this kid going missing within the first hour of my shift. I replied to my coworker via radio and got out of my chair and headed out the door. I embraced the slightly chilly morning air as I swung the door open. I walked fast to the trail where the incident had occurred, and once I had made it, that sickening feeling in my stomach had grown twofold, my stomach threatening to empty itself. I wondered if this really was anxiety-induced nausea, or if I had just eaten something bad the previous night. Hey, I am going to go look for the kid. Where exactly did you last see him? I asked the family.
He was right here. It's like he just vanished into thin air.
The woman exclaimed, clearly distraught. Okay, ma'am. So he was exactly where we're standing right now? I asked for confirmation.
Yes.
The woman replied. I found it to be incredibly weird that a kid could just vanish into thin air like that. But maybe the kid had gotten separated from them for quite some time and they just hadn't looked behind them. I looked around and squinted at the thick forest surrounding us. Look, ma'am, your child more than likely just wandered into the forest. But don't worry, we will find him. I'll search this side and my buddy here will search the other side. Please stay on the trail, and we will have some rangers come out to further assist you. I explained to the woman in the calmest voice I could possibly attempt to stop her from totally freaking out. I ventured into the forest and began to search. The forest was very thick, and it was still early in the morning, so I clicked on my flashlight to see better. At this point, I felt incredibly sick, and it seemed to be getting worse and worse with each step that I took, almost in a hot or cold game manner. Finally, I reached my breaking point and I had to stop to bend over and be sick in the forest. I knew I wasn't sick with anything, so something in this forest was radiating such an anxiety-inducing feeling that it caused me to throw up. My sickness was temporarily relieved, so I continued on despite the absolutely gut-wrenching anxiety and paranoia that I was enduring. Just the fact that I was experiencing this anxiety and paranoia for no known reason was making me that much more anxious. Suddenly, I began to experience an impending sense of doom. I felt incredibly depressed and somehow knew I was going to die soon, and I numbly accepted it. My sadness quickly returned to the familiar anxiety when I stumbled across the horrific sight of an incredibly demented child's body laying limp on the ground. I stared at the body in complete shock and horror. The body was fresh and was incredibly damaged with alien claw marks, and the face was completely gone. I picked up my radio and shakily pressed the button. "We have a 1055. I repeat, we have a 1055. Missing kid is found and confirmed deceased." I spoke into the radio. I couldn't look at the body anymore. It was inducing a never-before-felt horror in me. I couldn't believe that my gut feeling was somehow right that something absolutely horrible was going to happen today, and I quickly became worried that I had a newfound gut feeling that this was only the beginning of the horrors that I would experience on that day. Time must have gone by extremely fast in my shocked days, because before I knew it, there were people walking in around me to assess the situation, and I was escorted back to the office because I wasn't in the right state of mind to walk all the way back there myself. I sat in my chair for what must have been hours, not being able to get that horrific vision out of my head. My mind continuously raced, playing back the events leading up to finding the body and actually finding it. I felt as if I was stuck in a horrible loop that I would never even get the chance to escape from. Suddenly, I began to hear scratches at the door. The sound sent pulses of paranoia throughout me, causing me to jump in my chair. I wanted to check the door, but that's when I realized I was paralyzed from pure fear. I heard the scratching again, and I couldn't even react. The claws were scratching the front door in an extremely taunting manner. Finally, I began to feel my movement return, body part by body part. I moved my feet, then my legs, then my arms, until I was standing up out of my chair and walking towards the door. I made it to the door, and I peeped through the peephole to reveal the horrific sight of two white glowing eyes that swirled and danced into incomprehensible shapes staring back at me, inducing a feeling of tantalization. I instantly backed up and began to hyperventilate from the scene. I wasn't sure what to do, so I picked up my radio and called over some help, explaining there was an unwanted, possibly harmful solicitor by the front door of the office. I sat back in my chair and immediately heard the taunting scratching once again. I began to bite my nails from the pure anxiety that I was experiencing, waiting for someone on the radio to respond. "James, report to the Western Trail ASAP. We have another 1057. My coworker spoke from the radio, causing me to jump in my chair and bite down hard on my nail. Another missing person? What on earth is going on today? I sat up from my chair and instantly felt lightheaded from the stress that this day had put me through. I wasn't looking forward to going back to the trail for the high chance of finding another dead body. I made it to the door and checked through the peephole, making sure that that creature was no longer there, and let out a sigh of relief when I didn't see anything. I opened the office door and started on my journey to the Western Trail, which was about a 5-minute drive from the office. I walked over to the vehicle and hopped in. I turned the keys into the ignition, but the car wouldn't start. I turned the keys again, but it refused to start. I cursed out loud before exiting the vehicle and started my 20-minute walk to the trail.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.
While I was walking, I explained on the radio that my vehicle was not starting and that I would have to walk there. On my walk, I anxiously pondered whether I would stumble across a sight as horrific as the one earlier once more, and desperately hoped against everything that I wouldn't. After walking for 20 minutes, I arrived at the trail. I was met with the scene of an older woman frantically speaking and yelling to my coworker. I could tell by his hand gestures that my coworker was desperately trying to calm the lady down, but to no avail. I went through the same procedures as last time. I asked the woman details about the missing person, where they were last seen, etc. Shivers ran through me when I realized that everything the woman was describing sounded eerily identical to myself.
"Wait, are you him?"
the woman suddenly asked. I froze.
"Am I who?"
I asked shakily.
"My son. Are you my son? You look just like him,"
the woman went on. The woman's accusation had creeped me out beyond belief, and I had no clue what to say. I stood there, frozen, just staring at her in shock and disbelief.
"James, why do you have a park ranger's outfit on?" the woman asked me.
My stomach sank all the way to hell at that question. She knows my name.
"Ma'am, how do you know my name?" I finally mustered up the strength to ask.
"James, quit fooling around. You're scaring me half to death. I thought you were missing," the woman went on.
"What's my last name then?" I questioned, terrified of the answer I was about to receive.
"Grayson," the woman replied.
"That is my last name."
My vision began to blur. I couldn't fully comprehend the situation I was in. I moved my head around and it began to feel heavy. Stars began to cloud my vision, and I could hear the woman, my coworkers' distorted voices sounded worried as I fell backwards from fainting. I awoke sometime later on the forest ground. I was facing upwards, and I could see the moon and stars shining down on me. At least 12 hours had passed since I had fainted, and I was definitely not in the same place I was when I had lost consciousness. I felt my waist and noticed that I was no longer in possession of my radio. Panic enveloped me at this realization, knowing that I had just woken up in the middle of the night in a forest with absolutely no means of contacting anyone. An unwelcome sensation of being watched washed over me, causing me to panic. I got up and scurried to my feet before scanning my surroundings. The area I was in was unfamiliar to me despite having been a park ranger there for years. I felt a strong sense of deja vu as I walked around the forest, feeling the same gut-wrenching sickness feeling from earlier growing stronger each step I took. I could just feel it in my veins that I was about to stumble across something else horrific. A putrid smell suddenly made its way into my nose, the smell that I could only describe as the smell of death. It completely overrode my senses and I felt extreme despair. I stepped in something mushy that made a gross sound. I instantly stepped back and realized I had been walking this entire time without my flashlight on. I grabbed my flashlight from my waistband and turned it on, and pointed the beam light at my shoe. I gagged when the light illuminated blood at the bottom of my shoes. I gagged once more when I realized what that meant. I shakily and slowly pointed the flashlight in front of me, revealing the absolutely gut-wrenching and horrific sight of a dead body laying on the forest floor, which looked identical to me. I instantly threw up at the sight. My brain couldn't comprehend what I was seeing. I examined the body further and noticed the letters James were carved into the body. My brain shut down at that point, and I felt as if I was in a terrible nightmare.
I began to hyperventilate and look around me. That's when I noticed the familiar bright white eyes staring at me from behind one of the trees. The eyes were so bright that I had to look away because the light was causing my eyes pain. I looked just beneath the eyes, revealing the sight of an incredibly long and disfigured black figure. I noticed its uncanny legs slowly inching closer and closer to me, and that's when I made the decision to absolutely book it in the opposite direction. Adrenaline was surging through every inch of my body, and I ran faster than I had ever ran before, not caring about all the tree branches my face was ramming into along the way. I could deal with those scratches later, but my main priority was survival. Suddenly, I tripped on a branch and watched in slow motion as the ground that was about to impact my face, or rather my face about to impact it, came closer and closer into view. At that point, I had been running for my life for around 5 minutes, and I hadn't even looked back once, so I had no clue if this figure was still following me or not. I groaned as I hit the ground face first. I instantly scurried to my feet and looked around to see if the horrific figure was still on my tail. I examined each tree, looking for those two menacing and bright white eyes, but I couldn't find them. I let out a sigh of relief and decided to take a moment to rest and look at the moon, to distract myself from the horrific situation I was in, even if it was just for a second. I looked at the moon and appreciated its beauty. I decided to take a look at the other stars as well, and that's when I saw them. The two bright white eyes attached to the figure lay calmly on top of a tree, watching me. I let out a scream and instantly started to run again. I felt a small sense of hope when I noticed that the forest I was running in seemed to be getting less thick, and I noticed that some of the trees looked familiar, meaning that I was most likely near a trail, or somewhere I would be familiar with and know what to do from there. I ran and ran, not caring about how much my legs burned from the extreme physical exertion I was putting them through. Suddenly, I broke through the forest and I was now on a trail, but more importantly, the trail that I recognized. It was roughly a 45-minute walk to my office, but I knew I would get there quicker because I was running. I paused and examined every inch of my surroundings, making sure once more that the bright white eyes were not following me. But to my expected horror, there they were again, on top of a tree closest to me, calmly watching me. I instantly booked it in the direction of my office on the trail, and just after that I heard the sound of the trees surrounding me being swiftly leapt upon. I looked to my right while still running, and my eyes were met with the sight of the figure effortlessly leaping from tree to tree, following me. I decided not to look in that direction anymore as it was only stressing me out. I focused on what was straight ahead of me and continued to run. I picked up my pace as fast as I could, desperately waiting to get back to the office as soon as possible. I wasn't sure what time it was exactly, but I knew that the night shift rangers would be at the office at this time. After a while of running, the office came into view. I picked up my pace twofold and made it to the office door. I began to pound on the door, yelling my name and begging to be let in as I repeatedly glanced behind me, looking at the two bright eyes that were piercing atop the closest tree to the office. Finally, I heard footsteps walk towards the door, and a park ranger opened the door and let me in. I explained my situation to them, and they explained the woman I was referring to had gone missing a few hours ago. After explaining the dead body situation, they instantly sent people over to investigate it. The next few hours were a blur. I remember shaking uncontrollably, sitting in a chair trying to process what had just happened. After a while, I was escorted to my home. I quit my job the day after that and got news from the police that the DNA on the body matched up to mine. I still have no idea what that figure was or who that woman was or why the dead body was found in the forest, but I can confirm I am definitely alive. I still have nightmares about the event to this day, and I have spent tons of money on therapists. But no type of medication can seem to make the nightmares I have of the bright eyes go away. Maybe it was a long-lost twin brother or something. Who knows?
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.